legacies in politics are always troublesome, particularly in state policies. You know, I recall at the time that Mario lost the governor's race against George Pataki, I was watching the returns in the Grand Hyatt down in New York City at a party for Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who had just held his public acceptance of re-election that same year in 94. The public acceptance of the re-election was down in Grand Central Station on the mezzanine. It was a big thing. And then everybody retired upstairs to watch the returns in the Grand Hyatt. Hugh Carey was there, who was the predecessor to Mario Cuomo. And I remember Joan Rivers was there. There was like all these, the kind of brass of Democratic life in New York State. And everybody was happy as can be that Mario Cuomo was losing. And this was, you know, in the stronghold of Democratic politics. And it was because Mario Cuomo and I think his son Andrew did not play good party politics. They didn't travel the state backing up candidates. I mean, what will probably or hopefully start to come out now is an uncovering of Andrew Cuomo's history in recent years. I mean, what was his involvement in bringing down Elliot Spitzer? You know, there was involvement there. And he was AG at the time that Patterson was investigated. And that was for like baseball tickets and a few other things. And, you know, I recall working up in the Legislative Correspondents Association room up in the state capitol, you know, the press room up there, when Ken Lovett, who was the Albany reporter for the New York Daily News for years, you know, well over a decade. Oh, he got arrested by the state capitol police for using his phone in the Senate atrium. And there's nowhere to get phone connection in the Capitol because it's all marble and the like. And, you know, it was this whole weird thing where then Andrew Cuomo came directly to kind of free him from this room in which they had locked Ken Lovett, the reporter. And it was this weird sense of manipulation going on with Cuomo. And I think all of this is going to start to kind of pop up, or could. I mean, the with Patterson, you know, that was all Cuomo. He wanted the governorship when Spitzer got it. And Spitzer was really, really popular and, you know, really, really talented. And the question is whether Cuomo will go quietly now, and what sort of a machine does he have behind him? What has he built up over this period of time? Because if he's left to his own devices, my suspicion is that he's going to manipulate more behind the scenes. You know, the big thing now is whether we can move beyond having it be that in this supposed progressive state, the only way we can break ceilings and have our first Black governor or our first woman governor is through happenstance. And then they don't last that long. You know, fortunately, at this point, this has all happened late enough in the kind of political cycle that I don't see opposition rising to Kathy Hochul in the Democratic Party at this point. You know, on the Republican side, Lee Zeldin is really pushing, you know, there's the you know, have been whispers about Elise Stefanik, which I don't see. Neither of them can play down state. Kathy Hochul is from upstate, but I mean from Buffalo, but she can play down state because she's really played it well. And she comes out of the Moynihan office, which really trained a lot of people well. I mean, those are all ethical politicians, pretty much.
How about for local politics, Albany, or other areas just on the ground? In what ways do you think this will have an effects or repercussions? I mean, is this going to open some things up, or or even maybe the opposite, where Cuomo, with all his megalomania, pushed some things through that might get harder to make happen?
You know, if you're looking at the next big battles coming, you know, have to do with issues that did not interest him. You know, some of the big ones, he did manage to push through the SAFE Act, which I don't think a Kathy Hochul could have done, the same-sex. You know, a lot of his stuff actually came through, if you recall, with reluctance. You know, the one thing he did that could be undone, and I think will start to be leavened somewhat, is he did a lot of pushing towards centralization. It became, just as somebody within the media, it became harder during the Cuomo years to reach anybody, to have somebody explain or talk or take responsibility for everything. Everything became top down, including the way that funding was spread out around the city with the Red Sea program, Regional Economic Development Corporations, which were, they talked a big game about being transparent, but were really cold. And most of the funding in the state became reimbursement versus direct funding. So it ended up pushing the legitimacy of larger nonprofits and corporations. So you had all this funding for breweries in the Hudson Valley and tourism and things like that. And all the money was being funneled towards larger organizations. And that hurt a lot of smaller communities and community efforts. Kathy Hochul, throughout her career, has made it a point to go to every county in the state every year. And within each county, she would hit different constituencies. You know, she's went to every community within New York City and every borough. So that sort of attention to small town detail also demonstrates a willingness to listen to the specifics of kind of what's coming out of the political world rather than her ego kind of coming down on top of everyone. And I think that is a major change. And even if it's a minor shift that doesn't last long, it could have a good effect over a longer period of time.
So is there an opening for progressives here, and how should they push an advantage out of this, or no?
I think there is, and I think it's going to come based on the fact that the governor for the next year or so, until we come up to our next election, I guess she'll be in for about a little over a year before she gets swallowed by a race. But I think she'll be pushing gender issues, family issues. I suspect that there's going to come a lot of help from the Biden administration based on their need for a strong partner here and their worries about, you know, losing a state. So if they can focus on health, family, you know, a few other issues like that on a progressive level, it can end up being quite good, especially because the troubling issues at the edges of everything have to do with home care, the way money spreads into communities through, you know, there's a lot of money out there, but there's been no real directive from the state. And if there's a directive from the state to put things into community action rather than large economic development protocols, and the community action stuff is more in Hochul's wheelhouse, then you've got something that's actually very progressive, but it's not as controversial as some of the other issues. And that sets a standing if she can then win re-election in 2 years, then it opens up things and it allows the state legislature to start taking a lead on something.
Paul Smart, thanks for talking to us about this today. For Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.